Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Yud Aleph. Today's shiur begins from the top line. Before, though, let us take a look in the margin, where we have a topic heading, which reads under the Nosei heading, Maisa im Binyamin HaTzadik. The Gemara will present a story involving this individual, She Pirnes Isha V'Zayin Bonel, who supported Mishelo out of his pocket. He supported a woman and seven children. Me'achar Shisroikein Kupa Shel Atzdoka. This took place after the public coffers had been emptied out. In other words, nothing was left from the public coffers to support her. He paid for her well-being out of his pocket. Now the Gemara. Tanya, Omru Olov al Binyamin HaTzadik, Shoya Mimune al Kupa Shel Tzok. He was in charge of the stock of fund. Pam Achas Bosa Isha Lefonov Bishnei Batsaros. Once a woman during years of famine came to him, Omra Lo, and she said to him, Rebbe Parnaseni, support me. Omra Lo, Omar Lo, Ho'avoda. The term Ho'avoda indicates a type of oath. She'ein b'kupa shel tzedaka klum. There is no money available. Omro lo, Rebbe im ein atah mefarnesein. If you don't support me, harei isha v'shuva bonel mesim. Then a woman, meaning herself and her seven sons, will die. Omar upinus mishelo. He arose and supported her from his own money. Liyomim chola. After a while, he, the Binyamin HaTzadik, became ill. The Natal Omus became deathly ill. Omru Malachi Ashrozef and Kodesh Baruch Hu. The service angels, the Malachim, said to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, are you going to let this man die? Ribbono shel Amata Omarta, you declared, Kol HaMakayim Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael, Ki Lukiyim Oilam Moleh. He who maintains one Jewish soul is as if he has supported an entire world. Should this man, Binyamin, the righteous one, who supported a woman and seven children, a total of eight people, should die such a young death, Miyad Korulo Gzardino, and immediately the verdict of death was torn up. Tana, and were taught, Hosifalo Esrim Ushtayim Shama Al Shnosov, 22 years of life were added. Tonu Rabbanan, and here we have a Tanaic source, which we'll introduce with a topic heading as well. On the side, let's read what we've written. Maisa b'Munbaz HaMelech. This is a story involving Munbaz, a king in the Second Temple period, the time of the Second Beis HaMikdash. Shebizbeis Oitzrois HaMelech L'toivas HaZikukim Bizman Batsoras, who spent the royal coffers, the Oitzrois HaMelech, the king's fortune for the benefit of the poor during years of famine. This didn't find favor in the eyes of the royal family. They saw all of their wealth being spent. Tonu Rabbanan. We turn back to the Gemara. Maisa b'munbas hamelech shebizbeis oitzroisov v'oitzrois avoisov, who spent his own wealth, his own savings. An otzer, generally speaking, is a storage facility. In this case, it's where it's we'll call it the treasures, the treasury of the king and his forebears. And this was Bishnei Batsuras during years of famine. V'chibur olav echov ubeis aviv, and they're joined against him, his brothers and the rest of the royal family. V'amrulo, and they said to him, Avosecha gonzu v'osifu al shel avosam. Your fathers, they saved their money, and added to what had been saved by their forebears. Viato mevazo, and you're spending it all. Omar lahem, and he now goes on with a monologue, and you'll see if you scan ahead in our marked Gemaras, you can see we've underlined the words avosai and avosai, number one, two, and then again three, four, five, six. As you go on, each time he points out, he contrasts what his forebears were in effect doing and what he is doing. So he says, Avosai gonzu lamata, ve'ani gonazdi lamala. They saved their money below, here in this world. I am saving, accumulating a fortune above. Shenemar emes mi'eretz titzmoch v'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. We've dashed, underlined the key words. When you see the word tzedek or tzadik, that's a reference to charity. And here we also dashed underline the word Mishamayim, indicating he is accumulating, amassing his wealth above. Avosai gonzu b'mokum shayad shalet esbo. My forebearers, they accumulated their wealth where others can reach it, can plunder it. Vani gonasi b'mokum shein hayad shalet esbo. And I collected my wealth, I'm gathering my wealth by giving charity, to a place where my accumulated wealth is beyond the reach of any plunderers. Shenemar tzedek u'mishpat mechon kisecha. So we see that tzedakah is associated with the heavenly throne. It's under the base of the underly of the heavenly throne. Obviously, no one can reach that. Avosai gonzu davar she'ein oisaperos v'nigurasi davar she'oisaperos. They accumulated funds that don't bear fruit, but I accumulated that which does bear fruit. Shenemar imru litzad imru tzadik ki tov ki pri maleim yochelin. You can see we've highlighted the terms tzadik, like tztoka, and the word pri, fruits. Avosai gonzu otzuros mi momon v'anigos gonasti otzuros nefoshes. My forebears, they amassed wealth of cash. I amassed a wealth of people, of souls. Shenema pri tzadik eitz chayim v'lokech nefoshos chacham. Avosai gonzu l'achir v'nigrasti l'atzmi. My forebears, they accumulated wealth to be inherited by others. I'm amassing a fortune for myself. Shenema v'lecha tiyeh tzedakah. The tzedakah is for yourself. Avosai gonzu li'olam hazeh v'nigrasti li'olam haba. Shenema v'halach l'fanecha tzikecha k'vod Hashem ya'asfecha. That your tzedakah will go ahead of you into the world to come. The Mishnah mentioned the im kona ba base yirah. If a person, though he hasn't dwelled in a city for 12 months, but he bought a dwelling there, he is considered like one of the townspeople, and that then would obligate him to contribute to those contributions that other anshei ha'ir have to contribute. And on the side, we have a topic heading. We've written Beis Tanoim, two Tanaic opinions of Libo de Rav Shimon Gamliel. Kama karka kona shegoreim lo lios kanshi ha'ir. How much land, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, he's not the opinion in our Mishnah, would one need to acquire in order to be categorized as a member of the city for the tax purposes that we've mentioned in the past? One opinion, kolshu, any amount. And the second opinion, haruya, the beis dira, an amount fit to build upon it a dwelling. Now the Gemara, masnisen delo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Our Mishnah does not conform to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, desanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, im kona bo karka kolshu, hare hu ka'anshe o'ir. If one acquired even a piece of land, our Mishnah spoke about acquisition of a beis dira, of a dwelling. He speaks of karka kolshu. So you can see that our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Now the Gemara asks, within Reb Shimon Gamliel, we seem to have a divergent opinion. V'ha tanya Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, im kona sham karka haruyo lebeis dira reyu kanshi ha'ir. If you acquired a piece of land, but enough that's fit for a dwelling, not kol shuhu, not just a negligible amount. So the Gemara answers, there isn't necessarily a discrepancy. It's trei tanoi al bialibud Rav Shimon Gamliel. Two different Tanaic opinions as to what he holds. The Mishnah. We recommend, as we have been saying in practically every shiur, that you should have available the book Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations, to appreciate the sugyas that we will be seeing. As we go on, you'll notice we've highlighted with a double underline different areas that are subject to division between partners. A chotzer, you can see that is followed by a sodeh, and then a gina. The Mishnah. Ein cholkin es a chotzer ad shehei arba amos lozeh v'arba amos lozeh. You'll see a discussion in the Gemara about the amount, but for the time being, We'll simply translate. A chotzer is not divided until, when divided, each partner would get four amos. So we would seemingly be describing a chutz that has a total area of 8 amos. Velo es hasode atshe ba tisho kabin lozev tisho kabin lozev. A field is not divided until each party would receive 9 kav. Kav being a measure. It's in effect 1.5 base sa'ah. Maybe you're more familiar with the sa'ah measure. One saw has 6 kav, so 9 kav is 1.5 sa'ah per person. And we'll see in the next division with the Gina, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama, saying that division can be enforced even if there is less. In fact, half the amount of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad shehei bo tishas chatzoi kavin lozev, v'tishas chatzoi kavin lozev. 9 half kavs per person is enough in order to enforce a division. V'lo es ha-gino, ad shehei bo chatzi kav lozev, v'chatzi kav lozev. Likewise, a gino cannot be divided until each party would have a chatzi, a half kav. Rabbi Akiva Omer, base rova, a quarter. Velo es hatraklin, velo es hamoirin, velo es hashoivach. Other items that are subject to division, they're not divided until, and we'll see. First, we mentioned a traklin, a house, a moirin. Rashi mentions mine platin, different, it along with traklin is a type of dwelling, building. And the Mishnah mentions a shovach is a bird coop, v'los a talis, a garment, v'los a merchatz, a bathhouse, v'los beis habad, a press, v'lo es beis hashlochen, a field that's irrigated, ashe bohen kidei lozeh ukidei lozeh. That after the division, there would be a sufficient amount for each one individually to benefit from. Zeh haklal, the following is the rule. Kol she yechalek u'shmo alav cholkin, that which, after division, its original name is still relevant, is still pertinent, that is subject to division. V'im lav, if the two halves, the parts, no longer are referred to by what it originally was, then it cannot be divided. Amosai, bizman she'ein shneim rotzim. This qualification is when they don't both want to divide. Namely, if only one wants to divide, then the division can be enforced provided the aforementioned standard is maintained. Avol, bizman she'shneim rotzim. But under in cases where both partners in whatever item is they want to divide, afilu pochs mikan yachloku, even less than the above standard, the division can take place. If two people want to take an item that they own jointly and break it in half, even though the two halves are basically useless, they can divide. You might say that that's obvious, so be it. It's really being taught in anticipation of what we're now going to see with the Kisvei HaKodesh when it comes to holy scrolls, and this is a topic we dealt with earlier in our perek. Afal pi shishneim roitzim lo yachloku. If you have a holy scroll, for example, you have a prophet, the book of Yeshaya, which is, let's say, in a scroll form, and you want to take a scissors and cut it in half, and each one would get half the book of Yeshaya, that cannot be done, even if both parties want to do that division. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we notice Roman numerals 1 and 2, and under the Nosei Mivneh heading on the side, we've written Shnei Lashonos Shemalamdin Oisoy Din Shedalaramus Shomru B'chalukas Sachotzer Hinom Chutz Ladalaramus Shenoisim Lepsochim. The four Amos figure mentioned in the Mishnah, that four Amos is that each one gets is in addition to the four Amos that a person receives automatically in front of his door, or per door. I don't want to be too specific. That is something we'll see more about in the Gemara. But it should be realized, though, that when we spoke of each party getting four Amos in the Mishnah, that does not represent the total area of the chutz, namely 8 Amos. There's more area in the chatzer that we're now going to account for, and that is the area in front of the houses that open into this courtyard. Omar Rav Asi, Omar Rav Yochanan, Arba Amos Shomru, the four Amos that each party gets, Chutz Mishel Psochem. That's besides the Amos, the four Amos in front of one's doorway. Now we look at the Rashi, Chutz Mishel Psochem, Chutz Shel Shneim, Shnei Botem, Psuchem Lesocha, a jointly owned courtyard, two houses opening into it, each house belonging to each one of the partners, V'lifnei HaPesach Arba Amos. And in front of the door, there is four amos that house owner gets, tzorech habayis hein, for the benefit, for the purpose, for the use of that house, lefarek maso me'alchamor, in order to unload burdens upon one's donkey. So a person brings his donkey to the doorway. He's not going to bring his donkey into his dining room. He's going to bring his donkey up to the entrance of the house, and it's loaded with packages and sacks. He needs room to unload his donkey. So that is the four amos that we just accounted for in front of the door. And that is v'chutz me'oysan dalet amos b'tzorch she'ei arba amos l'shar tashmishin. And besides those four amos in front of the door, there has to be an additional four amos in the chotzer, and that's what we were referring to in the Mishnah, for his other needs. But we want to specify the doorway four amos is for a very specific purpose of unloading your laden animals. And the Gemara continues, Tanyo Nami Hochi, a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan, Ein cholkin es achotzer ad shehei bo shmoina amos lozeh u shmoina amos lozeh va na tanan arba amos lozeh arba amos lozeh. The Gemara asks in a rhetorical fashion, how can you say that the chotzer is divided only when there are eight amos per person, when the Mishnah said it can be divided even if there are four amos per person? Elo, there's no contradiction, there's no inconsistency here. Shmamina, this shows, these two sources show, kinerabasi Shmamino, like Ravasi explained. The Iko, the Rami Luhumirma, there's another version of so basically the same idea, but this version pits the two sources, the Brisa against the Mishnah, as if they are contradictory, and the resolution is in accordance with Rabbi Asi quoting Rabbi Yochanan. And now let's see that inside. Tanan. On the one hand, it says, "Ein cholkin es achotzer at shei bo arba amos lozeh v'arba amos lozeh." Ah, v'hotanya shmoin amos lozeh v'shmoin amos lozeh. Om Rav Asi, Om Rav Yochanan, arba amos shamru chutz mishel psochim. And now we encounter a machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Once again, have your pirush chai available. It is really essential for understanding this discussion. Under our topic heading on the Noseh, we've written the following: Machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chisda, Eich Mechalkin Mechotzer. How is a chotzer to be divided? Rav Huna says Lefi Psocheha, in accordance with the doors. And we'll see if you have one house has a singular doorway into the courtyard, and another house has two doorways opening into the courtyard. The house with the two doors will get two parts, two-thirds of the chatzer. The house with one door will get one-third. Rav Chisda, he says that the chatzer is divided in the following fashion. Dalet amos l'chol pesach, each doorway gets four amos. Vashar, and whatever is left after each doorway received its four amos of chatzer area, whatever balance there is, cholkin b'shava, that's divided equally. So if you have a chotzer measuring 100 amos, so then you'll have, and we had one door getting, one house having one doorway, and the other house having two doorways. So after you take off the 12 amos for the doorways, you've got another 88 amos that would be divided 44 per person. You can see then the great difference between the Rav Huna method. In the Rav Huna method, if you had 100 amo chotzer, The guy with one doorway would get 33 and a third amas, and the other guy would get 66 and two-thirds amas. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Chotzer mischalekes lefi psocheha. Which, as we said before, the chotzer is divided in per number of doors per house. So, as we said, just to keep things simple, if one house has one door and the other house has two doors, the house with one door gets a third of the chotzer, and the house with two doors gets two-thirds of the chotzer. Rav Chisda Amar, Noisten Arba Amos L'chol Pesach Pesach, 4 Amos per doorway, V'shar Chuk M'shoven, whatever balance is left in the chotzer, that's divided equally. Tanyo Kavose de Rav Chisda, and now a brisa that supports Rav Chisda. Psochim Shebechotzer Yeshlem Arba Amos. The doorways get 4 Amos. Hoya Lozeh Pesach Echad Lozeh Shnei Psochim. As we had in our example before, one house has one door, the other house has two doors. Zeh sheyesh lo pesach echad no tel arba amos, v'zeh sheyesh lo shnei psochim no tel shmoin amos. V'ha'ashar cholkin b'shove. You notice how we dashed, underlined that phrase, and if you go back three lines, you can see under Rav Chisda, we had that also dashed, underlined. This brisa supports, therefore, Rav Chisda. Hoya lo zeh pesach rochav shmoin amos. If there was a doorway that was 8 amos wide, now the next two lines you can see we have brackets. If we would skip it initially, you'll see that the correct reading is that which appears after the brackets. But before we read that, let's read the bracketed area. So we have a doorway that has it's a wide door, 4 amos in width, noitel shmoin amos keneged HaPesach, you would get 8 amos in that correspond to the width of the doorway. The arba amos b'chotzer. Now this phrase is very unclear. It says, and you get 4 amos in the chotzer. It sounds like 4 amos in the middle, somewhere in the middle of the chotzer. Arba amos b'chotzer ma'ivetai. What's the nature of 4 amos somewhere randomly located in the chotzer? Omer Abaye Hochi Komar. So Abaye says the correct reading is Noitel Shmoina Amos Be'orech Echotzer. You get 8 Amos in the length of the Chotzer, meaning 8 Amos corresponding to the length of the width of the doorway. Ve'arba Amos Be'orech Echotzer. And 4 Amos, it's into the Chotzer, from the threshold into the Chotzer. So it's an area, it's a rectangular area in front of the doorway, measuring 8 by 4. Omar Amemar, Hai Pira the Sufli. Pira, the pay can interchange with a base, so you get a word that would be essentially a bore. This is a pit, and ironically, the word pit has a double meaning, and both meanings are relevant here. It's a pit in which date pits are stored for animal consumption. Animals eat date pits, and that's called a Pira de Sufli. Sufli is a reference to date pits. In the Rashi, Hai Pira de Sufli, Mishi Eshlo Chafira Bechotzer, one who has, he owns a pit in a courtyard, Shenoisim Bo Garine Tomorim, L'maychel Behema, into which he stores his date pits for his animals' consumption. So and when you're dealing with chotzer, naturally we have several people are partners in that chotzer. They have houses opening into this chotzer. So the owner of that pit, he gets yeshlo arba amos b'chotzer l'chosvi v'seh. He has a right to 4 amos around the pit, a border around the pit measuring 4 amos all around the pit. That's the first point that's mentioned. It'll be qualified, though. So the Gemara continues, Yeshla arba amos l'chol ruach ruach, means in every direction he has 4 amos around the pit, around the perimeter of this pit. V'lo amoran ela delo miachalei pischa. This idea of 4 amos around the entire perimeter of the pit, that is assuming that it's lo miachalei pischa. What does that mean, lo miachalei pischa? Of course, if you have a pirush chai, this will become much, much clearer. in the meantime, let's, in addition to the Pirush Chai, let's look at Rashi. Delo miachal epischa. Rashi says at the end, Shelo hoya lo pesach etzo chafira. He didn't have a from his house. It's a, the door referenced here is a door from your house. The pit was not located near a particular doorway of the pit owner. Elo derech pesach beso shu yotze v'nichnas bo hoyolo derech lotzeis l'chotzer v'leilech achar hachafiro shelifnei sof beso u'mishtamish. He would walk out his door, and after walking out the door, Rashi describes he had a path that he would walk on. This path that eventually would reach this pit at the end of his house. But I want to emphasize, the pit is not located directly opposite a particular door of the house. Now we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Avo miyached le pischa, if the pit is located opposite a particular doorway, then ein lo ela arba amas lefe pischa. Then he doesn't have four amas around the entire pit, but rather four amas in front of the door leading to the pit, which is opposite that door. And Rashi at the top says, Avam yachad lepischa, shehoyolo pesach lesof beso. Notice the term sof beso. Rashi at the bottom of Omen Aleph made reference to the sof beso as the area where the pit was. So the pit is at the end of his house. However, in this case, there's a doorway at that part of his house, at the we'll call it the end or the back of his house, Eitz lachafira, next to the pit. V'derech osa pesach hoya rogil lahashlich hagerinim v'litlon. And he would open the door, and through that door, through the open doorway, would throw pits into the pit, and if necessary, he would take pits out of the pit from that doorway. In a case like that, ein lo b'chotzer b'shvil hachafira ela dalam shefnei osa pesach. In that case, then he has only four amos in the chotzer in front of that doorway. And we say that again, it seems to me that you would get four amos anyway because it's a doorway. But I think the main point here is this is to the exclusion of having four amos around the circumference of the pit. And now we continue with a new topic. We're not going to continue with the pit anymore, but rather discuss an achsadra. On the side, our topic heading is quite general. It says, Sugim Shonim Shel Achsadrois, different kinds of achsadros. We have referred to the achsadros in the past. In our previous shiurim, we've translated it as a type of sun porch. One thing is for sure, it's a structure that is not surrounded with four complete solid walls. That's for sure. But from that point downward, so to speak, we'll see a variety of different kinds of achsadras and various, we'll say, levels of opening or openness of the achsadras. So in this sukkah, though, we're going to be dealing with ma dinom legabi dalet amos. What is the din of an achsadra with regard to getting four amos in front of it if you have an achsadra as part of a chotzer? So now the Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, achsadra ein lo dalet amos. An achsadra that you have that opens into a chotzer does not get the four amos that we discussed earlier. And the Gemara explains why. Specifically, the four amos that one would get in front of a doorway that is not relevant to an achsadra. Taimo mai, why does one get four amos in a chotzer in front of his doorway? Mishum piruk maso, for the purpose of unloading his burdens from his animal. Hacha, in the case of an achsadra, the animal doesn't need to stand in front of the achsadra. Efshadai legavoyu mefarik. The animal can go into the achsadra. As you can imagine, you don't have your expensive china and silver collections in an achsadra. As we indicated before, it's a rather open kind of area. That's not where you keep delicate valuables. And hence, there's no problem in having the animal go into the achsadra and unload it there. Hacha means here, in the case of the achsadra, it can go in and be unloaded. Mosiv Rav Sheshes, Echad Sharei Botem V'Echad Sharei Achsadros Yeshlem Dalet Amos. Here we have a Tanaic source quoted by Rav Sheshes, indicating that achsadra does get the four amos. The Gemara answers, Kitan Yahi, that source describing achsadra that gets the four amos, b'achsadra debei rav. So this is one type of achsadra called achsadra debei rav. Rashi says across from here, achsadra debei rav, defanos saviv law. It has walls to it. It's not just a type of canopy supported on poles, which is what one might have thought an achsadra is. This is an achsadra with walls around it. Elo shet mukofis chalonos. These are walls that have windows in it. The Gemara reacts to this answer that we just gave, that the source indicating achsadra gets four amas is really an achsadra de beirav. The Gemara says achsadra de beirav shita in the runa malya hu. That's obvious. Here the word in Druna, by the way, in contrast to the way we've used it in the past, in the Mesoras Hashas, you can see he says it's the targum of what we would call a room. It's the Aramaic word of a room. So the Gemara is saying, well, I don't need a Tanaic source to tell me that in front of an achsadra de beirav you would get four amas. An achsadra de beirav is a regular room. And in such a room, you would have things stored, or furniture and valuables. And of course, you're not going to bring your animal to that. You will definitely need four amas. I don't need a Tanaic source to tell me the obvious. Elo b'achsadra runaisa. The source that says an achsadra is entitled to four amas is in this kind of achsadra, achsadra runaisa. What's that? Rashi says achsadra runaisa. Mukafos defanos nemuchos she'ein magios latikra. It's surrounded by low walls that don't reach the ceiling. So once again, that kind of achsadra is entitled to four amos, but an achsadra that is we'll call it even more open than that. it's a canopy that's supported on poles. It's certainly open. We can assume it's certainly open on one side. We're going to see more talk about achsadros when we learn the Tosfos. So I don't want to commit ourselves to anything right now. But the distinction is between that we're making now is between an achsadra that has low walls around it. That is entitled to four amas in front of it, as opposed to an achsadra that is certainly completely open, that is not entitled to four amas. As we said before, an achsadra that's completely open, you can bring the animal into it and unload it there. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source that has a list of different structures that are entitled to four amas. Beis Shar, this is a small booth. Rashi describes it as a bayis caught in a small house in front of a large house. We've seen Beis Shar in previous sukkis, a type of guard house. Achsadra, umirpeses, yeshlan dalet amos. Umirpeses is a balcony. and there are stairs that lead up to a balcony. And in front of the ladder or the stairs that lead up to the balcony, there are four amos entitled to the owner of that mirpeses. Hoyu arbo chamisha botem psuchim lemirpeses. If along this balcony there are apartments that open onto the balcony, four or five dwellings that open onto it, and each dwelling owner goes up that same ladder. So you have four or five people using the same ladder. Ein lohen ela dalen amos bilvad. There's only this a total of four amos in front of that ladder, and that's it. Not more. It's not as if you'd get there would be four amos per person in such a case. Triangles appear, and on the side of the Gemara, we indicate ba minei. These are she'elos binyan dalen amos b'chotzer. Questions on this topic, ve'od in yonei shcheinim, and other neighbor-related matters. Bo minei Rav Yochanan mirab Yanai. Lul shel tarnagolim, a chicken coop. Yesh lo dalaramas u'ein lo dalaramas. Is there an entitlement of four amas in front of the chicken coop or not? The Rashi, lul shel tarnagolim, bayis kotten, shemegadlim bo tarnagolim, v'yesh lo pesach v'chotzer. It's a chicken coop in which chickens are raised, and it has a door that opens to the chotzer. Does the owner of that lul get four amas in front of his lul? Omar le, so Rabbi Yanai answers, taimo mai. What is the whole reason for the four amos? Mishum purik maso. It's for unloading an animal. Hacha, in the case of the lul, shel tarnagolim, metapes v'oile, metapes v'yore. The chickens, they scamper up the wall. The chicken coop was generally a structure built on stilts. Had a certain amount of height to it. But Rav Yanai says you don't need to get four amas in front of. You can bring the chickens right up to the side of the lul, and the chicken will scamper up the wall. Bo minei Rava Merav Nachman Bayis Chetzil Mekura V'Chetzil Eino Mekura. A house that has half of it with a korah, meaning it's roofed, and the other half is open. In other words, it's open to the sky. Yesh lo dalaramas, ein lo dalaramas. Does a house like that deserve four amos in front of it for the unloading of an animal? Or maybe not. And when you say maybe not, the assumption is that in a house like that, where half of it is unroofed, you might in fact bring the animal into the house and unload it there. The animal isn't going to be knocking over furniture and valuables in the unroofed part of the house. So the question has been presented. Omar Lehi answers, Ein lo dalet amas. There's no allocation of four amas in front of the house. Lo mi baya kiruyo mi legav. The efshir da'ayel legavoi umefarek. It goes without saying that if the roof part is on the inner part of the house, namely the part opening to the chotzer, that first half of the house is actually unroofed. Right at the beginning of the house, that's obvious that you don't get four amas. You bring the animal right in from the chotzer directly into the beginning of the house. There's no roof over there, so it's clear that you can unload him over there. Even if the roof part of the house is facing the outside, meaning the outside half of the house is roofed, and that part is that which opens into the chotzer. Even so, efshir da'ayel gavoy umefarek, you still bring the animal through your house, through the roof part, reach the back part of the house which is unroofed, and unload the animal over there. Hence, no four amos in a house like that. Bo minei Rav Huna mei Rav Ami. Echod mibnei movui. Shebikesh lahachsir pischo lemovui acher. You really need to use the Pirush Chai over here. Verbally, we can describe a house that has an entrance to a mavui. A mavui is an alleyway where several houses open into this mavui. Generally speaking, a mavui is a place that chatzeros open into it. But here we have one of the mavui residents wants to open a door to another mavui. What we need to emphasize here is you've got a house that has on either side of it a mavui. Currently, the house opens to one particular alley. This house that has a mavui on its other side, he wants to open a door to that other mavui. B'nei mavui ma'akvin olav o ein ma'akvin olav. Here is the question. Can the members of that other alleyway prevent him or not? Amale b'nei mavui ma'akvin olav. Rav Ami answered, they can say, we don't want you. You haven't been opening and going in and out of our mavui. Up till now, you've been part of the first mavui, and we don't want new people in our alleyway. I say new people, even though this is a house that actually had a wall facing this mavui, but there was no doorway there, and he cannot now open a doorway to that new mavui. Achsanya lefi bnei odom mischalekes oy lefi psochem mischalekes. This is a gemara that's brief in words, but needs a lot of explanation. So first we'll start with the Rashi. Achsanya. Chel shemelech hamutal al bnei ho'ir loseis lohen achsanya bebotehem. Achsanya is a king's force, a military force, a military company comes to town. It's the town's obligation to provide dwelling, to host them. How do the townspeople divide the soldiers amongst them? The Gemara gave two possibilities, either lefi b'nei Odom or lefi psochim. Rashi says lefi b'nei Odom, hadorim b'bayis, according to the number of people dwelling in the house. Rashi continues, Mishaleches lefi psochim, lezevel sodos. This Rashi is relevant for something we'll see a little bit later. In addition to the Rashi we read, let us take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. We've marked it off in the upper part of the page. Achsanya shel melech she'ovrin be'ir u'mechalkin oison be'botei o'ir litem lino u'parnosa. The king's soldiers that come to town, all of the soldiers are divided amongst the townspeople for provision of lodging and board. Hashtaboy. Now the question is, lefi b'nei mavui sheyesh lem botim, meaning l'chol bayis mechalkin, according to the number of houses. If you own three houses and another person owns one house, so you will take three times the number of soldiers that the guy that has only one house. O lefi psochel mechalkim, sheim yesh bebayis shnei psochim, sheyitnu lo shnei chalokim min achsonim shiur shnei botim. You can have two people, each one has one house, but one house has two doorways, and the other house has one doorway. The house that has two doorways will have to host twice as many soldiers as the house owner that has only one door to his house. The Tosfos of Mirza Shem will get to his approach, which seems to be very different than that which we have seen just now. But in the meantime, we're dealing with the distribution of soldiers that come to town. The Gemara answers, we have here It would be another answer Rav Ami is giving to Rav Huna. Omar Le, Rav Ami answers, Lefi B'nei Odom Mishalekes. And the Lefi B'nei Odom approach taken by the Rabbeinu Gershom is, to me, the simplest approach, that according to the number of houses that particular people own, that is the number of soldiers or percentage of soldiers that they would get. Tanyo Nami Hochi. Zevel Shebechotzer Mischalekes Lefi Psochim Achsanyo Lefi B'nei Odom. The Brisa that's just been cited is a support to the to Rav Ami's answer, in that you see in the Brisa it says Achsanyo Lefi B'nei Odom. Another point was mentioned in this Brisa, Zevel Shebechotzer. For this we look at the Rabbeinu Gershom. He says Zevel Shebechotzer Lefi Psochim Mischalek Shim Hoyu Bebayis Shnei Psochim. One house has two doors, Ule Bayis Acher Pesach Echad, and the other has one doorway. Shemotzin Zevel. People would take their, I would call this organic compost. People, Zevel often is translated as garbage, but its eventuality is of becoming fertilizer. And that's achieved by people throwing their organic waste into the chotzer. It would sit there for a while, decompose. People, as you can learn in other gemaras, trample on it. In the course of time, it decomposes and becomes something of value. Hence, the issue is the zevel found in the chotzer. People are throwing their zevel, throwing out their waste, out their doorways. So a house that has two doorways would get twice as much in the distribution of the zevel as opposed to a house that has one doorway. And as we just said, the reason for that is that we're assuming that an equal amount of zevel is thrown out per doorway. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Echod Mibnei Movui, Shebikesh Listoim Keneged Pischo. An alleyway, several, we'll say, houses open into the alleyway. One of the members of the Movui wants to listoim keneged pischoi. What does that mean? So the Rashi, a few lines down from here, says Shabikesh listoim keneged pischoi lahakif mechitzas svivas talanamas shiyosh lo b'movui keneged pischoi. Rashi's approach is, and bear in mind that we'll see a different approach later in the Tosfos, but Rashi's approach is that opening from the house that opens into the alleyway, the owner of that house gets four amos in the Movui. Now, he wants to build a fence around those four amos, making it a type of private entrance way to his house. So he wants to do that. Now we continue in the Gemara. B'nei Movui Makvin Olov Shemarbe Alein Esaderech. The other members of the alley can say nothing doing. You're Marbe Alein Esaderech. If someone's starting from the end of the Movui, wants to go through the alley to reach the public thoroughfare, and now he's going to encounter this fenced off area, he has to walk around the fenced off area. Ordinarily he would walk up alongside the entrance ways and go that route to the Rishus HaRabim. And again, you need to use the Pirush Chai to really appreciate this. But if one of the members of the alleyway puts a fence around his entranceway, the guy coming from the back of the alleyway is now going to have to walk around it, lengthening his trip. That's Marbalim HaSederach. The Gemara asks, How can Rav Huna say that it's prohibited? We have the following. I want to emphasize something. And Rav Huna says that any one of the Ali members can prevent any other one of the Ali members of doing this fencing. Now we have a Tanaic source that's going to indicate something else. Meisvei chamesh chatzeres psuchas lamovi. Five courtyards open to an Ali. Kulon mishtamshos im hachitzona. The word mishtamshos literally means that they use. For our purposes, it would mean they have easement rights, walking rights over the outermost chotzer entranceway. When we say outermost, it's the one closest to the public thoroughfare, which is the destination of all of these Movoi members. So all of the inner Movoi members can walk over the entranceway of the outermost one. And the outermost guy, he uses his own entranceway, but he doesn't walk in, he doesn't have easement rights, he can't walk further into the Mavoi if, let's say, someone objects to that. We said mishtamish la'atzmo, v'ashar mishtamshos imashnia, if you're counting from the outermost chotzer. Now, the number two chotzer is used by the others. Vashnia mishameshes atzma. When I say the others, means the guys three, four, and five can walk over the entrance way of number two, and number two uses its own entrance. Walks over that area. Umishameshes imechitzona, and also walks over the entranceway in route to the public domain over the outer one as well. Nimseis, when you calculate all of their movements from their chatzeros to the public thoroughfare, the result is pnimis mishtameshes la'atzma u'mishtameshes in kol achas v'achas. The most inner one, the innermost chotzer owner will have, he can walk obviously over his own entranceway and over all of the others. Now this is a kashan Rav Huna. Rav Huna said all of them can issue their objection. Namely, an outer Movoi member can prevent an inner Movoi member from fencing off his entranceway. According to this source, absolutely not. The outermost guy, his rights are over his own entranceway, not over anyone further in. The Gemara responds, Tanoihi. This is a machlokes tanoim. We're going to present another brisa, and the Gemara is going to, in the middle of this long answer, you can see the Gemara has a question, questions an element of the Bryce, and then rereads things. So we say the issue is a machlokes tanoim. Echad mibnei mavui shebikesh lahachzir pischo lamavui acher. This is a point that we saw earlier, by the way, that you have a member of a mavui that wants to switch his entrance to another mavui. Bnei mavui, the second alley members, Ma'akvinov can prevent him. Hayasasim ubikesh l'pascho, ein b'nei mavui ma'akvin olav divrei Rebbe. If he had a pre-existing door to the second mavui, however, it happened to be sealed up. You know, as you can see, visually there is a doorway. It's not like the case we described earlier of someone having simply a wall facing a second mavui and his breaking open an entrance, a new entranceway. Here there was an entranceway that simply was sealed up. If he wants to reopen a previously used doorway, he can do that. And the second Movoi members cannot prevent him. Reb Shimon Ozer Omer, Chomesh Chatzeros Apsuchos Lemovoi, Kulon Mishtamshos Bemovoi Zu Im Zu. the Gemara is uncomfortable with the source as it is, because Rav Shimon Blazer mentions courtyards, and that had not been referred to in the earlier part of the source. Generally speaking, a later authority is a reaction. He comes into a source as a reaction to something mentioned earlier. Here, we don't see Chatzeros, courtyards, in the earlier part of the source. Chatzeros mandekar shmayu. Who made any mention of Chatzeros that gave rise to Rav Shimon Blazer making reference to that? So the Gemara says, Chisuri mechaser v'achi kotoni. The original source was abbreviated, and this, thusly, you should understand things. V'chein chomesh chatzeros of psuchos lemovoi, kulan mishtamshus imachitzona. If you had five courtyards opening into an alleyway, all of them can use the outermost entrance, can walk over the outermost entranceway. V'chitzon mishtamshus the atzma. V'chulei divrei Rebbe, as we saw above in the source that was originally quoted as a kasha on Rav Huna. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer Chomesh Chatzeros Hapsuchos L'Mavoi Kulan Mishtamshos B'Mavoi. All of them can you have easement rights in the Mavoi, even the outermost guy over the innermost guy, and that is a Tanaic basis for Rav Huna, that even an outer member can object to an inner member building a fence around his entranceway. Omar Mar, a quote from that which we saw earlier. Hoya sasum ubikesh leposo ein b'nei mavoi makvin olav. We spoke about a house situated between two alleyways. If this house owner had a door that was sealed up opening to the second alleyway, and he wants to open up, unseal the sealed doorway, the members of the second alleyway cannot object. Omar, Rava lo shanu elo shelo poratz etz petzimov. This restriction upon them objecting, they cannot object, assuming that when we spoke about the sealed doorway, the doorposts remained. Avol poratz etz petzimov, if the sealed door was sealed to the extent that they removed the doorposts and bricked up the entire doorway, that's a sign that he had at that point completely removed himself from that alleyway. If you seal up a door but leave the doorposts, the psimov, if you leave the posts there, that shows that he's not, in sealing up that door, he's not really removing himself permanently from that movoi. He has plans sometime in the future to reopen it. But if it's poras as petzimov, then Rava says, avol poratz es petzimov, if he destroyed the doorposts and then sealed the doorway, b'nei movoi ma'akfin olav, the members of that movoi, of that second alleyway, can prevent him from refashioning a doorway. Omale abaye l'rova, Tanya demesaye aloch. There's a Tanaic source that supports you. We continue at the top of Daf Yud Beis. This source has a lot of information in it, and we have to see what part of this source supports Rava's teaching. Bayis sosum yesh lo dalid amos. A house that had a doorway opening into a courtyard, and they sealed up the doorway. When that chotzer is divided, he is entitled to receive four amos in the division of the chotzer. And my understanding is it means four amos in front of that sealed doorway. Rashi at the top says, Yesh l'damos b'chalukas ha-chotzer imbo lachlo ki'ilu pasuach. He gets four amos in the chotzer as if it were an open doorway. However, Horatz es Petzimov Ein Lo Dalet Amos. And there you can see the significance of Horatz es Petzimov. He doesn't get the four Amos. And that shows that it's a total, let's say, removal from the use of that doorway. And in that, I believe that supports what Rava taught, and this was Abaye's intention in citing this source. Another halacha, and here the source deals with issues of Tumas Meis. The Gemara itself doesn't elaborate, but the Tosfos does. And Mirza Hashem, when we get to the Tosfos, we'll see a more extensive discussion on this part of the Braisa. It says here, Bayez Sosum, if they have a house that's sealed up and there's a corpse in the house, Eino Metame Kol Svivov, the house does not generate Tuma in its around its periphery. Only opposite the doorway. Opposite the doorway, so we say there that that area has tuma in it. We're dealing with tuma dinim derabonan, tuma derabonan, but for our purposes, it's merely a bias sosum, so the tuma doesn't extend around the entire perimeter of the house. However, Porat says, Petzimov, metame kol svivov, if it's a structure in which there's a body inside the structure, and the doorways were not only sealed up, but the doorposts were also removed, type of maybe mausoleum, it generates tumah in its entire circumference. Rashi, on the third line from the top, says, Parah says, Petzimov, harehu kekever, becomes like a grave. V'chachomim timu es svivois hakever dalet amos, and the rabbis imposed a rabbinic form of defilement in the perimeter, four amos around the grave, and in this case around the sealed house. So as to prevent the situation of people drawing near the grave and unwittingly overshadow the grave. So we create a protective belt around the grave by saying that even if you are getting within four amos, you will become tome. You and Osei Taros has to do with things like trumas and other food items that need to remain in a state of ritual purity, so that there's a rabbinic tuma of four amos all around a grave. Let us now turn to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the Tosfos Dibur Masel Velo, in fact the only Tosfos on the Omid. This Tosfos is related to the second line of the Mishnah, and we were describing how much area is necessary before we can enforce force a division. And it said, "V'lo es asoda ad shi'abo tisha kabin lozev v'tisha kabin lozev." We want to note, as we did when we were presenting the Gemara, that tisha kabin is really one and a half saw. A saw is six kav. Tisha kabin, therefore, is a one and a half saw. Afagav. I should point out, we have actually a taktir, a summary of the Tosfos. And let's read what we've written. Loma dafka im yesh besoda tisha kabin lezev tisha kabin lezev cholkin bezman shafilu koldehu nikra soda. Why does the Mishnah present the standard of nine kav per person when we know in another context even a negligible amount of property is termed a soda? So that's the issue that Tosfos deals with. And let us just briefly point out that other area has to do with the redemption of inheritance fields, a topic that's dealt with in the Torah itself, in the Chumash itself, and Tosfos will cite the Gemara in Kiddushin, which speaks about the redemption rate as applicable even to a negligible amount of sodeh. whereas the Torah itself speaks about the redemption of an area called a base kor. A base kor happens to be 30 saw. It's a much larger area than what we're describing. And yet we see in that, in the Lefi, the Torah Shebal Peh, the redemption of an inheritance field is something possible, even if you don't have a base core, even if you have much less, even if you have a negligible amount. So we're going to see that from that, even a negligible amount is still termed a sodet. So, with all of that in mind, let's now turn to the Tosfos. Afalgav debecholdehu mikri sodeh, even a negligible amount of property is called by the term sodeh. Let's just skip the bracketed section initially. Eino choshuv litroach lachrish lizroah bebochs mitisha kabin. When it comes to expending energies for plowing and for planting, for cultivating a piece of land, it's not worth your while, so to speak, to expend efforts, energies, and money if it's less than 9 kav. And with that in mind, we then understand why our Mishnah used that statistic for forcing a division. Namely, if each member would have, after divided, each one would get 9 kav, so it's still worth the individual's time and money to cultivate that, but less than that, it's simply not worthwhile. Now we skipped a few lines in brackets. The Tosfos had said, even though we find that even a kolde who is called sodeh in the brackets, kedamrinon beperek oimer begedushin, in the third perek of kedushin, which is known as perek oimer, regarding the topic of redeeming inheritance fields that one may have sanctified to the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara there says, "Ein li elo zera choimer surim." I know that you can redeem if you had dedicated a base core. Zera choimer surim is, for our purposes, a base core area of land. Then the redemption schedule featured in the Torah would apply. Minayin the rabo saw tirkav v'chatzi tirkav. How do you know to include these lesser amounts as also having relevance to the redemption schedule as featured in the Torah? Of course, it's all prorated. If the Torah featured 50 selah for an area of a base korb, if it's less, so you'll prorate it. How do you know that the redemption schedule has relevance even for small amounts? Talmud Lomar Sodeh. The Torah uses the word Sodeh, indicating Mikol Makom, whatever amount there is. Nevertheless, as we said before, Eino Choshev L'Trov L'Achrish V'Lizra B'Pochos Mitisha Kaven. Even though the term Sodeh has applicability to even a negligible amount, when it comes to the practicality of dividing a field, that the practicality applies only if each party would get 9 kav, not less. The Hod Yomar B'Soif Ksubas, at the end of Maseches Ksubas, Omar Humino was a heretic that said to Rabbi Chanina, Yeus Mashbechisu La'araichu, you are correct in praising your land. Now this heretic tells us of how fruitful the land of Israel is, and he says as follows: Beis-se'ah. Now a beis-se'ah is 6 kav. We've been speaking about 9 kav because we spoke about the Mishnah mentioning Tisha Kavin. This heretic speaks about a smaller area, 6 kav. Beis-se'ah hiniach li abo mimeno meshach, from that Beis-se'ah, from that rather small area of land, I derive my oil, mimena oil, like olive oil, mimena tomo, chamor, from there I have vines that produce wine, mimena ibor, from there I have grains, mimena kitnis, and I have legumes. What do we see from here? We see that even less than 9 kav is fruitful. The Gemara says, we can't use that as our standard. Hasam hoya b'makom shemizborech b'yoser. That was a place that was exceptionally rich agriculturally, exceptionally fertile. And we can't establish a general long-standing public standard based on the exceptional, and hence true in his case the Beis Saw was fruitful, but that doesn't set the standard. We now continue with the next Tosfos. We turn to Omid, the Tosfos of Omid Beis. The first on the Omid, Dibur HaMaschil Hocha. This has relevance to the Gemara, four lines from the top. The Gemara said, Hocha Efshir Dema'il L'Gavoy U'Mefarek. Dealing with an achsadra, not getting four amos in front of its entrance, and that's because you don't need the four amos for in front of the entrance. You can bring the animal into the achsadra. Before we continue with the text of the Tosfos, we glance at the side. We have our taksir mivneh introduction. Diamonds will appear. They highlight Rashi. And later the re appears in a diamond. Pirushim, they represent explanations. Lemahu stam achsadra. The term achsadra, when you see it in isolation or in a vacuum, what are you referring to? The double underline that you can see with the dots in it highlights the phrase stam achsadra. In the course of the discussion, there are two girsos. There's the Rashi girsa and the Ri girsa of a Gemara in Maseches Erevin, and the crown marking highlights that. And we've written girsoi shaynos sharashi v'ori b'gemara v'sof perikon gagas b'divrei Shmuel, regarding a comment made by Shmuel, and we'll see that, of course, in the Tosfos. Mosai Amrinon, I should say, regarding Shmuel, who deals with when is it that we say, or lo Amrinon, or do not say, when do we apply or not apply the concept of pi tikra yoreid v'soisim. Use, of course, the Pirush Chai to appreciate these points, but pi tikra is a reference to an oral tradition that at the edge of a tikra, at the edge of a roof, even though there's no wall there, there is an imagined wall that descends from the edge of the roof downwards. That's pi tikra yored vesosik. Under what circumstances do we allow that to operate, that halacha lemoshe misina, that oral tradition? When does it apply? When does it not apply? That will be part of the discussion. You'll also see later in the Tosfos, Roman numerals 1 and 2, and double underlined expressions. These represent shnei tiurim, two different descriptions, shel achsadra de beirav and achsadra rumaisa, that we saw referenced in the Gemara. Namely, those were examples of achsadra that we saw in the Tanaic source, quoting more, that get four amos in front of it. First, the Gemara said, Achsadra de Beirav, but then the Gemara said that was pshita, that was too obvious. So the Gemara introduced Achsadra Rumaisav, which is a type of Achsadra that gets four amos in front of it, but we'll call it less obvious that it should get the four amos in front of it. Those Achsadras get four amos in front of them, as opposed to the Stam Achsadra that we saw in our Gemara saying it does not get four amos. And now let's get into the Tosfos itself. So Tosfos at the very top, Hocha Efshir Demayel L'Gavoy U'Meforek. In the case of an achsadra, you can go in with your animal and unload it there. Pirush Rashi, the Stam achsadra Ein Lo Defanes Klal. The unqualified achsadra has no walls. It's a canopy that's supported on poles. It has no walls. Vigoras nami basoperikol gagas. And with that in mind, Rashi has, as his version of the Gemara in Erevin, the following. He les leili Shmuel pitikra. When is it that Shmuel does not hold from the concept of pitikra yurid v'soysein? I call it the descending wall theory. It's descending from the edge of the roof. That's bedalid. Aval begimel islay. Now that is what appears in the Gemara. That's the girsa. Pirush. What does it mean when it says that Shmuel does not have pitikra when there's four, but when there's three, then there is pitikra? So Tosis explains. Pirush b'achsadra she'ein la defanes klal, an achsadra that has no walls at all. It's a canopy supported on four poles. Then les lay the Shmuel pitikra yurid v'sosem b'chol arba mechitzos. In order, if it's a situation that you would need in order to form pitikra, in order to form four mechitzas, we will then say that's too much. We can't allow pitikra to be operative when you need to form four mechitzas. Ulukach ka'omar Shmuel, and therefore Shmuel says be'achsadra be'bika. An asadra that's standing in isolation in an open field. De'ein metatlin bo ele bedalid. You cannot carry on Shabbos under that canopy supported on four poles without any walls more than four amos. It's not considered a sufficiently enclosed area to allow tiltul on Shabbos. Aval b'shalosh is lay. What does that mean? The hainu im yesh bo doifen echad. If you had a canopy and one regular wall, so it's basically something open on three sides. Amrinon begimel pitikra, for three walls to be formed through the pitikra was imaginary method. That's okay. And you can see that would have ramifications regarding the halach of carrying underneath it. Are you restricted to an area of four amos of carrying, or not restricted? You can carry under the entire area. So it would depend on whether there is one wall or not. So the idea of an achstam achsadra having no walls, as Rashi said, is part of the description of the Din of Shmuel and the Girsa that he has in regarding the Gemara in Erevin, that you can have something that's called an achsadra and at the same time it has no walls. Ulari nira destam achsadra yeshla sholosh mechitzes. The Ri has a totally different take on things. He says that an achsadra, when you see the word in an unqualified fashion, as opposed to like achsadra de beirav or achsadra remaisa, where the word achsadra is accompanied by other terms, but a stam achsadra, according to the Ri, has three walls and it's open on the fourth side. Kinomer b'luyachbor, as the Gemara later in this Masechna second parak says, the oylem azel achsadra hudoyme. The world is like an achsadra. The ruach tzvoinus eino misoyveves. That it's enclosed on three sides and it's open on the fourth side. I'm just giving you a summary of that Gemara in the second paragraph. Mitzvah Shem will see more when we get there. But the point is that the description of achsadra is that which is enclosed on three sides and open on the fourth. Now, with that in mind, how do we deal with the Gemara in Erevin? Ubesoif perikol gages garsinon. And now we'll see the Ri's girsa of the Gemara in Erevin. Bearing in mind that as far as the Ri is concerned, an achsadra is that which has walls to it. So how does the Gemara in Erevin appear as far as the Re is concerned as follows. Ki lesle begimel. Avol ba'arba isle. Notice the totally different girsa, and that's why we have our markings. You can use the crown shape above and see the reference to the Gemara, the girsa there. Rashi's girsa was ki lesle shmil pitikros bedalid. Here you have ki lesle begimel. Now the explanation of the Re's girsa. Let's continue in the Tosfos. Pirush b'sholosh kishein kiim shol. What is when the girsa, when the Gemara and Erevin says ki lesle the b'sholosh? What does b'sholosh mean? Kishein kiim sholosh mechitzas. When you have only three walls. Lo amrinon pitikro berevius. The descending wall through the pitikro method, edge of roof descending, will not be operative. Avol bedalit. What does that mean? Kishiyesh ktsas gam mimachitza revius. If in addition to having an achsadra with three complete walls, there is the beginning of a fourth wall, and use the Pirush Chai to appreciate this. To type it would look like a board or a post that would represent the beginning of a fourth wall. Then Omar Pitikra. Then Pitikra will have relevance. Needless to say, you can see a completely different approach taken by the Re to the Gemara and Erevin than the Rashi. The Achsadra de Beirav that we said is we saw in our Gemara that is something that's Yesh Lo Nami Sholosh Mechitzas Gemuros. It has three complete walls. For Avias Gavoya Dalet Amos, and the fourth wall has a height of four Amos to it. And that in our Gemara we saw was something that was obviously a type of achsadra that would get four amas in front of it. That then wasn't even what the brisa was referring to. The achsadra rumaisa horavius eino gavoa rak asorot vochim. The fourth wall, if the achsadra rumaisa was quite a bit lower, it was only 10 tvochim of height. Inami, another, if you look, another approach. Debe Rav Gavoa Revia Sasora. The Asajr Be Rav had a wall, its fourth wall, 10 Tvochim high. The Rumaisa, Pochos Measor Tvochim. And the Rumaisa, Achsadra, that had as its fourth wall, a wall rather low, less than 10 Tvochim. We now continue with the next Tosfos. Dibur HaMaschil Bo. This is relevant to the Gemara. 20 lines from the top. Bo Rav Huna Me Rav Ami. And our taktir on the side to this Tosfos reads, Lahasbir Echi Tochein, how can it be, Shrav Huna, Shel Shelim Merav Ami, that Rav Huna is asking a question of Rav Ami? And generally speaking, when you have someone asking a question, he is the lesser individual asking a question of the greater individual. A student asks a question of his teacher. How can it be, though, that Rav Huna is directing a question of Rav Ami? Bizman sheba gemara begitin royim, we see in Maseches Gitin, we see an incident. The Rabbi Ami, hayakofuf Rav Huna, the Rav Ami was subordinate to Rav Huna. If he was subordinate to Rav Huna, it would be very odd for Rav Huna to be directing questions to him. So Tosis will make sense of all of this. The Tosis Bo Rav Huna Merav Ami. The Tosis opens with a question. You notice we have a long question marking. V'ha di Omar v'perek hanizokin, in the fifth perek of Maseches Gittin, which deals at that point with order of individuals to receive an aliyah to the Torah reading. Who goes first? Who goes second? And it's the Gemara there describes a situation where if you have the Godol Hador present, he would get the aliyah that a Kohen would ordinarily get. In other words, he would get the first aliyah. And that halacha applies even in a case that Kohanim are present. And the Gemara, Tosis quotes the Gemara, Gabi Rav Huna Kori Bakani. There we saw that Rav Huna, who was not a Kohen, was receiving the Kohen Aliyah. And and how could that be? So the Gemara there says, Shiny Rav Huna. Rav Huna is different. Dafilu Rabbi Ami, Ravasi Kani Chashiv Dara di Yisrael. Even Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi were the great Kohanim, very important Kohanim of Eretz Yisrael. Make of Kaifi the Rav Huna. They were subordinate to Rav Huna. V'hacha, in our Gemara, Hechi Bo Minei. How could it be that Rav Huna is asking a question of Rabbi Ami when Rav Huna was the greater one? V'yesh Lomar, Tosus answers, the Rabbi, notice the Yud as part of that word, the Rabbi Ami Luchud V'Rav Ami Luchud. There is a distinction. There was Rabbi Ami, he was subordinate to Rav Huna. That's the Gemara Gittin. Our Gemara here was Rav Huna was asking a question of Rav Ami. Rav Ami was a scholar greater than Rav Huna, warranting Rav Huna posing a question to him. We now continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Achsanya. This has relevance to the more 24 lines from the top. And when we learned the Gemara along with Rashi, and we saw the Rabbeinu Gershom. Achsanya lefi psachim, pirush Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel explains the issue. The Miboyale, Rav Huna, was asking, Shayora shechonsa b'mokom echad, a caravan that encamps in a particular place. Hazevel, the animal waste that's left by the caravan. Eich cholkin, how is that to be divided? I want to point out that a footnote in the Sefer Tosfos HaMavor, footnote 591, points out that the Braisa, according to this approach, makes a distinction between Zevel that comes from the Chotzer owners, the various houses, house owners in the Chotzer. How is the Zevel there to be distributed? As opposed to a scenario where Zevel is left by a caravan passing through from place to place. How is the Zevel of the caravan to be distributed? Obviously, in the case of the caravan, that's Zevel produced by its animals, not Zevel produced by waste thrown out the Chotzer house doorways. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur Maskil Echad. This is related to more 28 lines from the top. Echad mibnei mavui shebikesh listoim keneged pischo. We have, by way of markings, you can see diamonds appear, and we've indicated on the side, Pirushim al mahu hastimo shebikesh ben hamovui lasos. This issue of sealing up that was featured in the Gemara, what is that? Of course, we saw Rashi, and Tosfos will quote the Rashi, and we'll see later Rabbeinu Yitzchak. We often, in our markings, have highlighted with a double underline the key words opening, introducing a question and an answer, and you can see that we've done that over here. So we turn back to the Tosfos regarding the issue of one of the members of the Mavui wanted to be listoim keneged pischo, pirish hakuntris, Lahakif mechitza svivos ha'arba amos sheyesh lo b'movoi keneged pischo. According to Rashi, a person had property opening into an alleyway, and as such, he has four amos opposite that entranceway that are his in the alleyway. And the issue of the Gemara was that individual wants to put a fence around those four amos opposite his entranceway. The kasha l'Rabbeinu Yitzchak. This idea of getting four amos, we've seen with regard to houses that open into a courtyard, not entranceways into an alleyway. And yet, according to Rashi, he spoke about four amos, one is entitled to an amovui. That's something that there doesn't seem to be precedent for, according to Rabbeinu Yitzchak. Venire L'Rabbeinu Yitzchak Kepirush Rabbeinu Chananel Kegon Sheyoshev B'soif Hamovui Eitzel Tzad HaSosom. Hamovui, unless otherwise stated, is an alleyway. We call it a dead end street, or I think the term cul-de-sac is used, so that there's an entranceway to the public thoroughfare. And the opposite end is a wall. It's sealed up over there. And now you have, we mentioned you have a row of homeowners that open into the mavui. And now we're focusing on the backmost, the guy located furthest in, the last guy furthest in on the in this alleyway. And the roitze listoim keneged pischo kol roichav hamovui. And that last guy, he figures, I'm the last guy. Beyond me, there's a wall. You know what I want to do? I'm going to build a wall, we'll call it a parallel wall, sealing off the mavui, before you reach my house, before you reach my entranceway. The last guy, before reaching his entranceway, is going to build a wall, sealing up the mavui. Even, we'll say, even a little earlier. V'hashtekom Rav Huna, and regarding this, Rav Huna says, Shema'akvin olav b'nei hamovui. The other members can stop him, can prevent him from doing that. Afal b'shem chitzonim, even though they're located further out. Lefi, and the term used in the Gemara was Shemar b'aleim es haderech. What does that mean, mar b'aleim es haderech? When we were learning Rashi, it had to do with having to walk, take a longer route, to walk around a fence. That's not relevant here, but it means something else. What does Mar B'aleim es haderech mean in a case where this innermost guy would build a parallel wall, sealing off the Mavui, we'll say a little earlier? Mar b'aleim es haderech means pirush regel b'nei odom. You're increasing people pressure, people density. She'echelin loymar b'nei hamovui. The outer more members can say to that inner guy, af kishiyesh rabin b'mavui. Even when there is a big crowd in the alleyway, yechelin likones ad sof hamovui. The crowd can spill over into the furthest back part of the mavui. However, but now with your sealing off the mavui earlier, tarbe olenu esaderech al yedei bnei odom hadorchim olenu b'mavui. Now there's less room in the mavui for the crowds to occupy. V'af, and what's going to happen? V'af l'chatzeros yitzdarch l'ikonis mirov dechak. They're going to spill into our courtyards. It's a much more private area. By your building, by your constructing that sealing off wall in front of your inner entranceway, you're causing the crowd density, the same amount of people will now be occupying a lesser area, and that could cause spillover into our courtyards, and hence the outer more members of the Mov, we have a taina, have a claim against that innermost guy. Umotzinu loshon mar b'limas aderech b'inyan zeh. The term that Rav Huna used, mar b'limas aderech, can refer to this kind of situation as well. Not only the simple translation like Rashi suggested of an increased path, increased journey, but mar b'limas aderech can mean this increased person density. We've seen this elsewhere, and as the Tosafot says, and you can see we have a little house marking, and we've indicated these are on the side under the Mivneh heading Dugmois Shemayim Royim Habitui Marmelus Aderech Bemuvan Shel Ribui Anoshim. The use of this term Marmelus Aderech with this connotation of increased people, increased population density. Disnan. L'kamon b'cheskes abatim. In the third parak, there's a Mishnah that says, Lokach bayis b'chotzer acheres, lo yiftechenu l'chotzer hashutfin. In order to appreciate this particular citation, so you would open the Pirush Chai book of illustrations, where a person who owned a house in a particular chotzer bought a house that opens to another chotzer. He is not allowed to open a doorway into the first chotzer. Lo yiftechenu l'chotzer hashulfin. He can't open it up to a jointly owned chotzer. Meforish taima b'gemara. Why can't a new entranceway be opened facing this other chotzer? Mipnei shemar b'lemas aderech. What does that mean? Open. How does a doorway have to do with mar b'lemas aderech? Tahainu regel b'nei adam. Because of this new doorway opened into the original chotzer, you're creating an increased population there. So that you see that the term marbelim sederech has to do with an increased number of people. Ubetoisefto the perakama de mechilton in the brises of the first parak of our masech, the Tanya yesh lo chonus. Person owned a store opening to a public thoroughfare. Mavakish lepoischei lechotzer hashulfin. He wants to create a we'll call a back door opening into a courtyard owned by partners. Those courtyard owners can prevent him. They shemar b'alemas aderech. He's going to be increasing the number of people in their courtyard. So once again, you see another example of. Marbling. I said there in the context of increased numbers of people, as opposed to the simple translation that Rashi was using. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur Masel v'Apnimis. This has relevance to the Gemara, 17 lines from the bottom. V'apanimis mishtameshes im kulon u'mishtameshes le'atzma. Pirush le'atzma. What does that mean? When we speak about the innermost guy, is mishtameshes le'atzma. She'ein acheres mishtameshes ima. No one else uses that area. No one else walks over that area. V'chitzoyna mishtameshes le'atzma. We saw 20 lines from the bottom. The term, the outermost member uses his entranceway by himself. Ein pirusho kamozeh. It's not like penimis latzma. When we said penimis is latzma, that means to the exclusion of everyone else. When the Gemara earlier said chitzayna latzma, it doesn't mean to the exclusion of everyone else. Elo liatzma sheino mishtamesh yosim acheros. I mean, there chitzono liatzma meant the outermost guy uses his entranceway only to the exclusion of his ability to use the others' entrance ways. So you can see the term liatzma having a different connotation when used together with penimis versus used together with chitzono. we now turn to Yud Beis, Omen Aleph. The top Tosfos is the Tosfos that has relevance to the Gemara that we learned as part of today's Shir. This is a quote from five lines from the top. Paras Petzima Metamet Kol Svivo. The Gemara itself didn't dwell on the issue of Tumah, but it was part of a brisa that dealt with the issue of the removal of the doorposts of a house, and in this case of a house with a corpse in it. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a taktsir of this Tosfos, and let's read what we've written. Tosfos mevi pirusho shel Rashi. Tosfos will quote Rashi, the imparts etz pesimov shel bias mitamet kol svivov dalet amos. But by removing the doorposts of a house in which there is a, and of course, removing doorposts means in addition to sealing the doorway, you also remove the doorposts, and there's a corpse in the house, then there will be tuma in the entire periphery of the house for a distance of four amas on all sides. Umevi kushis Rabbeinu Shimshon. She'achakach, the Tosfos will then present, Rabbi Shimshon has a question on Rashi, and afterwards, she'achakach mevi no sein pirush mishalo, deha demetame kol svivov, that which the Brisa speaks about a house with removed Ptzimim, meaning metame in its entire circumference or entire periphery, medubar bebayis shemikol ruchosov bol tin zizin. And I hope you're not getting tired of me recommending opening your pirush chai, but you certainly will need it over here, that in addition to having sealed up the doorways, the house spoken of in the Brisa has an overhang over the various entranceways to this house. Behemshech Tosfos Miyashev as Pirush Rashi, but at the toward the end of the Tosfos, the latter part of the Tosfos, Tosfos will justify, we'll say, Rashi's approach. Now the Tosfos. Poratz Psimov Mitamet Kol Svivov Pirush HaKuntris Kol Svivov Dalet Amos Kekever. That Rashi explains that in all around the house there will be tuma of four amos, like is the case with a grave. V'ein nira l'Rabbeinu Shimshon. This doesn't appear as an acceptable pshat to Rabbi Shimshon. Kevon de Mesaimi Mechitzis. A house is different than a grave. A grave is a spot in the ground under which there's a body buried, and there might be some marker, but it's generally speaking it's lowly, and it doesn't have walls to it. A house is Mesaimi Mechitzis. There's a body in the house, and there are clear walls that separate anyone from the house. There's no reason to suspect that someone's going to climb on the house and overshadow the house. Overshadowing, of course, would be a situation of tuma, of tuma transmission. But if you're walking on ground level and you come up to a house and there happens to be a corpse in the house, there's no room to suspect you're going to climb up and overshadow above the house. Therefore, less long lemeimar shi'tamed alav amos svivav. There's no reason for suggesting tuma all around a house that has this characteristic, mesaimim mechitzas. When we were learning the Gemara, we explained that the rabbinic imposition of tuma four amos around is the fear that you're going to come, you would come up to it and come up to a grave. There's a din of four amos around the grave that everyone accepts, because you might, if without that security belt, you would come up to the grave itself and end up think overshadowing, even though you didn't think you overshadow it, in reality you might have bent over a little bit. So we create a security belt. That's when there's that fear of your coming to overshadow. But a house, there's no fear of your of one walking by and then coming to overshadow the house. And this idea when of mesayimim mechitzas kedemucha perek meshuch mechoma, as you can see in a perek meshuch mechoma seches soita gabi chotzer hakever, this is appreciated much more, of course, if you have your Pirush Chai book. This is a little entrance way, a courtyard that from which you would enter a cave in which there are bodies that are buried. So a chotzer hakever, that little vestibule or courtyard, ha'ayme b'seicha tor, one who stands in that does not absorb tuma. Hani mili chotzer hakever de mesayme mechitzis. That is true when you're dealing with a chotzer hakever, because from that little entranceway, there's a wall that has an opening into the cave. So there's a sort of clear demarcation between where you are while standing in the chotzer hakever and where the bodies are buried. Avo meis be'alma tofis. But a body that's just lying outside does generate, toughest literally means grabs. It grabs to, includes with it four amos all around. But not in the case of someone standing in the chotzer hakever, even though he might very well be within four amos of a corpse. But the corpse is buried inside, not where he is standing. And since you have the benefit of a wall, we don't impose the tumah, the rabbinic four ama tuma belt. Lekach nira lo lefarish. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Shimshon explains, what about our brisa with the was a house? He removed the doorposts, and we said it's mitama all around it. So it's kigon sheish zizin harbe bolton min abayis mikol tzad. V'yesh bo'en poiseach tefach b'chol echad. Not only is it you do have a house, but you also have some overhangings that protrude all around the house. From all from all sides of the house, there are there are protrusions, overhangings that are poiseach tefach. Means they have these overhangings have a width of a tefach, each one of them, and when you stand under that which overshadows a corpse as well as you, if that entity that overshadows happens to have a width of a tefach, you become tomei. It's another form of tumas oil. Not only you're overshadowing the dead, but one entity overshadowing the individual and the corpse simultaneously. And that's what this house looks like. Now the Brisa made a distinction between doorposts still present versus doorposts that were removed in sealing up the house. Ukeshelo poratz psimov. If the doorposts were not removed, afapisha sosmoi, even though the house, the doorways were sealed up, eino metame tachas hasha'ar zizin. There, believe it or not, there is no tumah under those other protrusions. Shestamoi shomeis oimed lotzeis derech pesach. The body, when it will be removed through the doorway. So even though the doorway was sealed up, but the doorposts remain. So we imagine that in the eventual, with regard to the eventual removal of the body, it will come through that doorway, the doorway that still has doorposts. Avolin poratz ptsimov v'chozar ubonon kishar koisel v'enkan pesach klal. If, however, the doorways had their doorposts removed and they were sealed up, making them look like the rest of the walls, and at this point there's no doorway whatsoever, then we say metame kol svivov that under around the entire house, under these overhangings, the chol ziz v'ziz, regarding each ziz that protrudes, ikol esfuki, there is room to think, to doubt, to raise as a possibility the shema derech tachas oisu ziz yetsim in abayas, that at some point in the future the body is going to be brought out through the wall. At some point in the future they'll break open the wall underneath at any particular overhanging, and that is the reason for the tumah, because of our doubt all around the house. Because under one of those overhangings, eventually the body might be brought out. So, to review, as far as Rabbeinu Shimshon is concerned, if the doorposts remain, then we don't have to worry about the body being brought out some other part of the house, because a doorway, even though it's sealed up, but the doorposts remain, show us that that is what eventually will be opened up to have the body removed. But if the doorposts are, in addition to the ceiling of the doorways, the doorposts are also removed and everything's bricked up, making it look like a solid wall, then who knows where the body eventually is going to be brought out, and therefore under any one of those protrusions, there eventually the doorway might be constructed, and through that the body taken out, and hence we have the rabbinic imposition of tumah all around the house. V'yesh liyashe pirush akuntris de bayis nami lo mesayme mechitzta. We can preserve Rashi in suggesting that the house is really like a grave, in the sense that you can't rely on Mesayme Mechitza. We saw the concept of Mesayme Mechitza with regard to the Chotzer HaKever, but not so with the house. The Afagav the Leko Lamecha Shemiyale Alabayas, even though there, like we said before, there's no room to suspect that he's going to climb up over the house, and that we're not changing that explanation. That is, in other words, that we pointed out before. Mikol makom, nevertheless, ikol lemecha shemo yiga b'ksolim. There's something else to suspect, namely that maybe he'll touch the walls of the house. The kever metame b'maga afilu minatzad, a grave communicates tuma through contact even from its side. Kedemuch b'sifri parshas paraduma, as is proven in the sifri, in the medrashon sefer Bamidbar, called the sifri, in parshas Chukas Bamidbar yutes pasuk tezayin. Tosis quotes two words from the pasuk. Obakover, just on the side, we've included more of the pasuk, which says, let's read what the entire pasuk says. V'chol asher yigap al pnei hasadeh b'chal al cherev o b'meis o b'etzem odom o b'kover itmo shivas yomim. So that contact with different, we'll say, corpse-related tuma entities, including the grave, imparts Tumas Meis of 7 days. Now that's the gist of the pasuk. We go back to our Tosfos. It says in the pasuk, O Bekover, Ze Kever Sosum, a sealed grave. O Eino Ela Pasuach, maybe it's referring only to an open grave. Amis Kavachomer, Uma Oyel Shu Mekabel Tuma, Eino Metama Mikol Hatzdodim Kishu Pasuach. An OL, a tent. A tent itself, it's made of fabric, and if you have a body under the tent, the tent itself, the OL, becomes tome. However, it will not be, we'll say, tumah will not be generated mikol hatzdodim when it's open. Hakever sheino mekabel tuma, a grave that doesn't absorb tuma, eino din shelo yitama mikol hatzdadim kshu pasuach, and it certainly will not generate tuma in its periphery and all sides when it's open. Mashma, however, this implies dekeshu pasuach dekshu sosum metame af benogea bo minatzad. When it's sealed, the grave will be metame through contact, even from the side. So, with that concept in mind of tumas maga, the fear of tumas maga can justify Rashi's explanation of the standard house without the Rabbeinu Shimshon's pshat of overhangings, but a basic house with sheer walls without overhangings, and yet tuma, rabbinic generated tuma in all directions to create a security belt, because there is the fear that a person will come up and touch the side of the house, and if the doorposts have been completely removed, it then takes on the same dinim as a kever that we just demonstrated from the pasuk. It appears that there's tuma doraisa, it's a drusha from the pasuk, on contact with a kever from the side. And that point will apply to a sealed up house with doorposts removed as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.